In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. The context of today's gospel, there's a few verses before it which aren't read in church, but Jesus, it does mention that he was sitting in the house of a Pharisee, and he has just gotten done telling the Pharisee that when you throw a great supper, you should invite the lame and the poor, and not the rich and the wealthy and those of good name. And then he, at the end of that statement, the Pharisee or one of the people at the table, probably feeling elated that Jesus is sitting at the table with them and they're reclining at the table and they're eating and enjoying, he says, "Blessed are we who sit and eat in the kingdom of heaven." He takes note of this. And there's different ways to see this. One way is to see this as for him to be a joyous proclamation with the Lord. Another way to see it is having that this man has a sense of surety that when he ends in the next life, that he will be at that banquet table. That he is comforted. He has comforted himself as a chosen person of God. That it is a given that he will sit in the kingdom of heaven and be at that banquet. And this is where the parable comes from. It comes from this notion of this person who is a chosen person. And to talk about chosen people, you know, Jesus primarily talks about going to the Israelites, the chosen people of God, God's people, who are under a covenant. And as I've mentioned in the past, covenants have two clauses. One is that God fulfills his end, and the other is that we are to fill our end. And in the parable, Jesus lays out and challenges this man's presumption. The parable he goes through is that a man who throws a great supper, of course. One of the ways you would do this, if you were to have a wedding or a great banquet, is that you'd invite everybody. Well, you didn't have email, you didn't have phone, and you didn't have mail the way it typically is now. And so you sent one of your servants or your slaves out, and they would invite people well ahead of the events, you know, maybe even a month before. And so the people would say, "Yes, I can come," a month before. We would say they would RSVP. And then on the day of the event, you would send your servant again. And that's what is being talked about today. On the day of the event, the slave or the servant again is sent out. And then the people who have said they will come, the people who have promised that they'll be there, these are the people in the parable that are turning away. And that's what maybe isn't on the surface of our minds as modern people understood. But it is extremely rude to RSVP and then not to show up. Especially when you think of this being a king. At that time, this was actually a risky proposition. You can think of in our times of declining the invitation of somebody like a mafia don. You know, that's just not something you do. Especially after you said you would be there. And we're meant to understand that the three examples that are given are just a sampling. But in the end, that everyone, almost everyone who was invited, when they were finally told to come, the banquet was ready for them, declined. Then we are given the three general excuses. One has purchased a plot of land. And the bottom line of all three excuses are they're not very good. But the first excuse is probably the best excuse out of the bunch. The most, you know, you can't always plan when land has to be purchased and he has to go see to it. You know, maybe. One commentator I read felt like this was very excusable. Most of the fathers don't feel like any of them are excusable. The second one was that he had some oxen and he had to test them. The first two asked to be excused. The third one has just married and he just doesn't ask to be excused. He's not going to go. And these excuses are in some ways represent, these are wealthy excuses. I mean, to buy land, to have oxen, to be married in the time, and these things, these are generally understood as to be joyous, blessed people that are being called to this great banquet of the king. And they all have their excuses. Now, the rest of the parable is that the master of the servants sends them out to get everyone from the highways, the hedges, until his place is filled up, ultimately saying in the end that none of those who were originally called would taste of the supper. And the bottom line being that it is not enough simply to be called. It is not enough simply to be called, and we could translate this into the Christian faith now. It is not enough simply to be called and make a commitment to Jesus Christ that we planned to be in the heavenly banquet with him. The next phase of the challenge of the gospel for us is to examine how many times in our life God comes to us, how many times he is looking for us, and how many times that we're preoccupied. But the challenge I'd like to focus on today for the rest of this sermon is just to deal with excuses. You know, we in the commentaries, I mentioned that all the excuses are irrational. Some of them are phrased irrationally. But in the end, they're meaningless. They're not real excuses. Basically, they decided they didn't want to come. And they had these things to present, but they're more presenting them as formalities. And that's the message that we're to get. We oftentimes make excuses. But I want to make a distinction between two types of excuses. One excuse, these are, I mentioned, wealthy situations. I hear people sometimes coming to me who struggle in their spiritual lives, who are overwhelmed with life and are beaten down by various things. And they come and they'll act as though their circumstances of being beaten down and as though having a rough time was somehow a bad excuse for, you know, not praying in the morning or for very simple things. You see, the excuses in today's gospel are focused on those who not only have the means but have the time and the full ability to attend to what they've been invited to and they've already promised to come. This is one way for me to say for you that we are sick people, and sometimes what we think is an excuse isn't an excuse, and sometimes the thing that we think is real about our lives is actually us making excuses for ourselves. And this is teased out often in the sacrament of confession, where we lay bare our souls, where we try to tell the truth about ourselves, and where often we can receive feedback. Because again, some things aren't excuses and some things are. But an excuse essentially in this case, because you're saying excuse from what? Well, you know, from prayer, from when you have a nagging voice on your heart to pray, or when you think that you might be encouraged by the Holy Spirit to read Scripture. You know, our excuses in this world are more subtle than a banquet that we can go to. I think most of us would go to the banquet. It's a party after all, right? I like partying. Is that recorded? Anyways, we all like partying, right? Orthodox people. I don't think we would miss the banquet. But it's an analogy of the eschatological banquet. And for Christians, this happens on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day level as we commune with Christ. And so there's a million different ways to commune with Christ day by day. And he is constantly sending his servants to us to call us and invite us to essentially turn our hearts to God and to have this communion. And then sometimes we're sensitive to that and sometimes we're not. And what we're talking about today is when we're sensitive to it. And we have choices. Did you know you had a choice not to have a busy holiday season? And that if you were busy, you chose it. It's not an excuse necessarily. Did you know that you have a choice about how much Facebook or television you watch? Did you know that sometimes when there's moments where you can be quiet and actually turn to God in prayer? Did you know that God is actually reaching out to you all the time? And that despite your irritations at work and despite the various circumstances of your life, that any time it is possible by the grace of the Holy Spirit to have peace and joy and comfort of God? Now those are the possibilities, and it sounds abstract. But in the end, the challenge for us is again to analyze ourselves. Are we responding to the message of the gospel? Are we actually planning on attending this banquet, but not just planning on attending in the future when we think it'll be comfortable and easy? But are we actually trying to make a connection with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day level? Because I assure you, He is always trying to make a connection with us. And so we have to grow in sensitivity, but then we also have to grow in priority. And ultimately, today's parable is about priority. It's about training our souls to choose Christ over the world, to choose Christ over our worries, to choose Christ over pleasure, because the examples in the parable today often speak of pleasure. It is ultimately about trying to prioritize Christ, the gospel, our God, at the center of our very lives. Not as a luxury, but as a commandment, as something that is fundamental to that initial time when we replied to our calling, when we first said that we would attend the heavenly banquet, when we first committed our lives to Christ. The promise was that we would go and we would be with Him in the kingdom of heaven. Anyways, it's lived out in the day-to-day. So let's again analyze ourselves. Let's think about the excuses, our popular excuses we carry around within ourselves. You know, there's no sense of beating yourself up. We do have, again, a sacrament of confession to come and lay bare our souls. And if we feel as though we're making excuses, it is good to know that sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. And sometimes we're actually not giving ourselves enough grace. All this stuff can be sorted out somewhere. Because the truth is we're not expected to do all this ourselves either. You know, the banquet is with a group of people. It's not something we go, we feast together. We're not alone in this. So I encourage you to examine yourselves. Think of your popular excuses and if you have any. If you find yourself constantly making excuses for why you don't pray, why you're not attentive to your spiritual life, come, turn yourself in, repent, and maybe have a refreshed experience in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.